Samaritan woman. She'd been married 5 times, and the guy she was living with wasn't even her husband. And of all the people, Jesus speaks to this woman at the well, an outcast of society. I mean, I think everybody in this room at one time or another has felt a little bit like an outcast. You know? Do you ever feel like you just didn't quite belong? You're different. I mean, let's face it, you're different, right? Aren't you different? I mean, look at how different you are. Turn around, look at somebody. Say, and look at them and go, you're different. You're different. No, you're different. Okay. You're really different. Oh, yeah. Don't leave out Alan back there, okay? Is he different? They're not answering. Okay. Well, this woman at the well, you know, she was an outcast. Who knows how many families she broke up, you know, with her quest for something so deep to be loved, completely loved. I mean, that it's so foundational. There's not one person in this room who doesn't have a place in your being that longs to be completely understood and loved, you know. And so this woman found it. She found it there. It's awesome. You know the story, and I will just leave it at that, okay? And then you have young John the Beloved, a 16, 17-year-old boy. You know, 16, 17-year-old boys want love, but they also have lust going on, you know. And sometimes the two get all mixed together, and you don't know if you're loving somebody or lusting somebody. It's just kind of that way. But there was something in John, you know. John was like, you know, the big guy on a football team who wanted to be, you know, the hero. He was showy. He was a big mouth. He was a son of thunder. He took after his daddy. You know, let's call down fire on these people that reject us. All right. We'll be cool. Fire. It's like Jesus is like, oh, man, please. You don't even know what spirit you're up. But as John moved away from himself, his own nature, he moved toward the Lord's love. He found himself being magnetized and just drawn to the Lord so that they became one in relationship. It's awesome. That's what God has for us. And he says, I'm going to tell you how to get there. Love me. Love me. Love me. How do you get to love somebody? How do you get to love somebody? How does that happen? Can you tell me? You get to know them. How do you get to know them? Can you tell me? You spend time with them. Oh, so maybe Jesus get his planner out and you kind of like pencil in a date, you know, kind of hang out with Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Now, he's always available. You know, you can always call him, right? Okay, so you hang out. What do you do when you hang out? I love the word hang out. How do you hang out? What do you do when you hang out? I've been going right down the line. She's sweating. She goes, I'm next. <You know? laughs> What do you do when you hang out?
Talk.
You talk. Oh, that's awesome. You talk. Oh, you talk. We call that, what do we call that? Prayer. Okay? We pray. We just talk and we, what else do you do when you hang out? Oh, now you think you're next, don't you? What do you do when you hang out? Do you always talk? You do things together, okay? It's like it's just like sweet time. Like I've seen people hang out. Like I get this one family in church, they drive me nuts. They don't talk. They just hang out. They're just together. And they get in my car, and I take them someplace, and everybody is silent. It's like, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. It's like, are you always like this? Yeah, we're just like hanging out. It's like, okay. Just this hanging out, you know? It's just a fun thing. Okay, so, yeah. If we're going to love God, we've got to hang out with him, okay? And you know all these verses, and, you know, I'm just going to go to Revelation. Okay, because right here at Revelation, it was the angel to the church of Ephesus, and he starts pouring it out. And the spirit of revelation comes on John, we'll call him lover boy, okay, comes on John the beloved, tight with Jesus, gets the biggest revelation, all right? You know, when you get to hang out with somebody, you get to know somebody, you get to know their secrets. Yeah, because secrets bind hearts, and then you're bound, and you can say you're tight, okay, with this Lord God. So John was tight with the Lord, and God reveals to him this church of Ephesus, and this is what he says. God starts out with nice stuff. Check it out. God starts out with nice stuff to say about you. He does. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. Praise God. What a commendation. It's great. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles. That you have tested church people. Okay? To see if they're really real. You've searched the Word of God to do so. You've tested them that claim to be apostles and are not, and you found them false. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my namesake. These people were persecuted, saying, this is great, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. All that good stuff. And God says, excuse me. Yeah, love me first. We were tight, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. God is saying, Ephesus, please. We were so close. You were an awesome church. You were an example to other people. And as you got blessed, you just kind of wandered away in your heart. And you've lost your first love. That stinks. That really stinks. All right? I hope that cannot be said of any single one of us. Church is good. These were church people. Church is good. Okay? But they just came out of habit. They just got used to it. And they went through all these motions. You know, they put out bad people. They wouldn't hang out with them. They couldn't tolerate that. But they were not on fire themselves. They were just good. They weren't the best that they could be. They were just good. And you know, good is not good enough. No, it's not good enough. Not when our God supplies abundant grace, abundant love. Like, that means like way too much. Like if I was standing here right now, you know, and he was to open up this crack in the ceiling and it goes, folds back. And he pours out grace. You couldn't even see me anymore. Because like he gives us so much. And these people are like, ooh, got that all over me. Let me get away from that stuff, okay? Now, the still in church is still good, but it's not best. All right? God wants us to be our best, the best, with Him as our top priority, not to lose our first love. Okay, could you hit the space bar and see what the next one is? Neighbors, okay? Love our neighbors. Love our neighbors. This is pretty good. And our scripture today in Romans, you know, love our neighbors. Love our neighbors. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's the problem. A lot of us don't love ourselves. We are His workmanship, being created in Christ Jesus. Behold, Ecclesiastes, the wisest man ever walked on the planet, said, behold, God has created man upright. However, man sought out all kinds of other things to do. God made you good from the beginning. And we need to love ourselves. And I'll tell you what, if you don't love yourself, it's because you have sin in your life that you're not dealing with. It's not a problem to have sin. Of course it's not a problem. We got Jesus. He forgave everything past, and He's working today to take the residual sin nature completely out of us. You might keep sinning, but you should start sinning some new sins. Because you have total victory over all the old ones. And then all of a sudden you walk along and you discover, oh my goodness, I have this other area. You don't have to find new sin. It's there, okay? But what I'm saying is that the old sins need to be dealt with so that we walk in victory over those old things and we don't have to deal with it anymore. Because we're on top. We're the head, not the tail. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean I can go buy a new car in Christ Jesus. It means I can do all the battle I need to do after against my old nature so that I am fulfilling the scripture. It says, I am a new creature in Christ. I'm not the same old Joe, okay? Although the outward man perishes, the hair falleth out of thine head, and thine eyes are dim. But the inward man is renewed day by day. It's kind of weird because the older I get, the newer I get. I know it doesn't look like that because I don't see it that way in the mirror either. As a matter of fact, my knee kind of hurts today. And my hip, no. You know, old people, do you ever see old people get together? They have an organ recital. Yeah, well, my liver is kind of kicking up again. I think I got a goiter. You know. But biblically, yeah, although the old man is getting older, the new man of Christ inside is getting renewed. And that's exciting, okay? You've got to love the skin you're in. You've got to love what God has made you to be. And if you don't, then deal with it. Just deal with it. Get an attitude that you don't have to put up with yourself anymore because Jesus Christ lives in you. And the old nature has got to go. You're dead with Christ, crucified with Him, nevertheless you live. All right? So if you deal with yourself first, then you'll be able to love your neighbor. And we all know the story about the Good Samaritan. We've got a Levite that walks by this guy who's all beat up. He's like, I'm not going near that. It looks messy. I don't want to deal with it. Somebody sees me with him, maybe I'll get blamed for doing it. A priest walks by, same tribe of Levi. These are the people, these are the church ministers, okay? He does nothing for this man. And you know why he did nothing? Because he was so bound up in his religion. If he touched a Gentile, he'd be unclean for another day. He'd have to go to the temple. He'd have to offer another animal for his cleansing. And it was going to take time and money to help this guy. Finally, the Samaritan comes by. He's not entangled with all of his traditions of religion, and he pays the money, he helps the guy, he washes his wounds, and Jesus is speaking this to his chosen people, to a Pharisee, a religious guy who's saying, well, love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? The guy living next, who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, your neighbor is anybody who needs your help. Who needs your help? Somebody needs your help. Be a good neighbor today. Love them. Love them and prove it. Religious people passed by and a Samaritan did the God thing. The God thing. Let's take a look at the next one. Another space bar. Family! Don't you love your family? Okay, thank you. Is your family here? Oh, they're in the other room. Okay, yeah. Look at her. She's all spiritual. This is my family. That's great. She's right. Very good. All right, I want to talk to husbands and wives, okay? Do you know, this is so funny, the Bible says four times that husbands are supposed to love their wives. Four times. Do you know how many times it tells the wives to love their husbands? Once. Just once. Now, why is that? What happened? Really? Did he drop dead or does he fly away? He went down? Is the bird dead? I can't see him. Sorry. Are you going to be okay? You don't know. Okay, all right. Let's all pray for her. No. So four times God tells the men. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. One is that women are so stinking hard to love that God's got to tell us four times. Maybe not. Another reason. Men are so stupid, they have to be told four times. And women are so smart, they only have to be told once. I don't know. Anyhow, it's just kind of interesting that it's that way in the Word of God. You know, You know, I think men are sometimes just big boys who forget, you know, they just get distracted with hunting and fishing and, you know, making money, climbing the corporate ladder, you know. You know, it's like, me man, provide for family, you know, and they forget to just supply the love and the tenderness and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then, you know, women have a tough time because, you know, they're outranked. They're just plain old outranked, you know. I mean, the men in this room probably didn't know that it says four times, but every man in this room knows that the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. You know, I mean, we know that verse, okay? But we got to give them something to submit to. So family love, men need to take a position of servant leadership. Servant leadership, you know. I've got a little kid at school. It's a little squirt, okay? It looks like he's in about sixth grade, and he's in ninth grade. And God has just put into his entire being a servant heart. He is always serving. I have coffee set up in my room and tea and popcorn and stuff. And he just, like, took over that whole area, takes care of it. Anybody wants coffee, you know, he makes it for them. He makes my coffee at the end of the day when I'm a little tired, you know. Brings me my coffee, popcorn. It's hilarious. It's just the way, you know, he's made in that kind of a servant way. And women have that, they're outranked, because the man is the head of the house and the woman has to help him meet his goals. And that's easy for a woman who loves the Lord and whose husband loves the Lord, and they work together at it. So there's this family love that God wants to bring together. The bottom line is couples need God's intervention, help, and empowerment to know how to love properly from the heart. Not just reading a book on love languages and realizing that she likes to be lavished with gifts and you buy her all kinds of stuff and your heart is far from her. Doesn't work. God said the people of Israel tried that. You bring me your sacrifices, you go through all the motions, but your heart's not toward me. And you know, couples can sense that in each other. God wants to revive that in marriage. You know. Now let's talk about kids in the family, okay? This is kind of cool because it says in the end times that men would be boasters and children would be disobedient to their parents. And there would be a lack of natural affection in families. You know, we see that happening. Now, not so much in Asian cultures, okay, because family is really important and parents invest everything in kids. I mean, they even send you to school to get high grades, right? Because they want you to have a wonderful future, you know. So there's all of that caring. Now, I want to talk about this other thing, too, which is a little challenging, okay? And it's Ephesians 4, verse 6. It says, fathers, and I think this applies to parents, do not exasperate your children. Do not exasperate them, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, this word exasperate, what do you think exasperate means? Who's next? Oh, you are. What does exasperate mean?
Tired.
What?
Tired.
Don't tire them. Good. Do you have another definition? You didn't think I was going to call on you right away. Exasperate. What do you think that means? What?
To wear them out.
Yeah, don't wear out your kids. What kind of a parent would wear out a kid? What would that look like? Have you ever heard of, like, helicopter moms? Helicopter moms? They fly around the house all day long. Did you do what you're supposed to do? Excuse me, are you done with that yet? Didn't I tell you to do this? What's your homework? Did you do your homework yet? You know, and just kind of buzz around. Your room is a mess. Did you know your room is a mess? You know, that's a helicopter mom, okay? Yeah. Do you have money in your purse? Is your cell phone charged? If you go out there and I don't know where you are and I'm trying to get a hold of you, we had an emergency at the house and the milk spilled and I need you to come clean it up. You know, helicopter mom, okay? That drives boys insane. Okay, I had one mother. I'm not even going to go there. All right, it's just crazy. All right. So it means, and parents do this and they don't know it. They don't know it because they love their kids so much. They just want everything perfect. Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father is in heaven is perfect, and I'm going to help you get there. Okay, and it's like, it doesn't work. All right. So this word exasperate means to irritate. The Bible says parents are not supposed to be irritating. Or annoying, which is a real popular word. Or to anger, infuriate, or agitate their children. But instead, here's the positive part. You know, to bring them up. You know, how do you bring people? You bring them up with words. Acknowledge the good things in them. Just like in Revelation. You do this right, this right, this right, this right. Oop, do that one wrong. It takes all that good, those positive words, will open a heart to see what the parent is trying to say. Okay, let's take a look at the next one. Love one another. This is in the body of Christ, okay? So the body of Christ should, you know, be operating in that new commandment. You know, out of John, what is it, 13? Yeah, John 13, 34, new commandment I give unto you, that you love as I have loved. Yeah, lay your life down, do the hard thing, set up the chairs, do these other ministries that you know, where you see there's a need, function in the body of Christ, give of your time, give of your money. And then what does he say? This is how all men will know that you are my disciples. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Let's take a look at the next one. This is a tough one. Love your enemies. This is really, really hard. I told you about that art fair that I was at. You know, I had Jewish people all around me. And I said, you want peace in the Middle East? I'll tell you what you have to do. And I'll tell you who said it. Jesus said it. He said, love your enemies. Serve your enemies. You want peace with the Arabs? They're your brothers. They're your sisters. By genetics and spiritually, when Israel serves and loves their enemies, peace will come. And it's that way in our lives. And I look at Jesus on the cross, you know, after all he did, his own creation turned on him. It's like if I was over here creating this beautiful painting. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. And all of a sudden, the colors come out of this painting. And they smack me in the face, you know. And then the beautiful thing I painted over here hits me on the other side. And then the painting says, you know, another color comes out and pulls my whiskers out, or my hair off my head. And it says, if thou be the painter, tell us who plucked the hair out of thine head. That's what happened to Jesus. The very thing he created came against him. It's incredible, all right? And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love, okay? We see this also in Stephen. Stephen, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. They parted. Oh, that was Jesus. I'm sorry. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, you know, he said, Lord, do not hold this against them. They were throwing rocks at him, aiming for his head, his heart, his eyes. I don't know, just trying to kill him with rocks. And he says, please don't hold us against them. All right? So, good stuff. Love God, neighbors, family, one another, and your enemies. The enemy one is the tough one. I think I told you a story about a grandmother who did not like my wife. It was her grandmother. She just didn't like her because she only had so much love and she gave it all to this other granddaughter. And so we'd go visit her and we were determined. She wasn't exactly an enemy, but it sure felt like it. How would you like an enemy that's a grandmother? See her come out. She was from like down south, from Kentucky. She'd you know, be on the porch rocking on her chair, crocheting, drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette. And you'd walk up, making fun. You laughing at my grandmother? I'm just kidding. I don't believe it. Anyhow. You pull up, you go, hi. She go, howdy! That's just how she talked all the time. You know, it's like, oh my goodness. So anyhow, every time we went, we made sure we hugged her. We hugged her, okay? I mean, it's like this is Grandma, and I hug Grandma. I go, is the guitar hugging me back? Not so much. It was just like that. It was like hugging a corpse because it was like nothing responding back. And we just kept doing that. We kept doing that every time. And we'd say, love you, Grandma. You know. No response. You know, by the time she died, she accepted Christ, and she fell in love with her granddaughter, and she crocheted at like 92 years old this beautiful giant bed cover, okay? And we went to see her one time. She was crocheting it because she really loved my wife after time, and she was having a hard time crocheting, and she starts cussing up a storm because the needle wouldn't work right. It's just funny. Anyhow, now I want to ask you another question. We got all this love stuff going on, okay? Love your enemies. That's a tough one. But I want to ask you this. Why do you even love somebody? Let's have the next slide. Why do we love someone? I've got a multiple choice here for you, okay? So the first one would be because we have common interests. And I want to challenge you to move beyond this. Go ahead, hit that. All right, these are my kids, you know, in school. And one day they were listening to music and we're working on some cool stuff. It's my classroom. And these kids just love each other. They call themselves the Northeast Corner. Okay, they're like, the Northeast Corner. You know? And they have this common interest in music, you know, and they're all doing their head bobbing things. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go someplace with this. And so they love each other because of common interest. Who do you love because of common interest? And is that enough? Is that really enough? Okay? I'm not sure it is. Because what are they going to do? Bob their heads all day? You know, really. So I'm trying to package this, because this kid right here, oh, he's got the moves, seriously. He can really dance and just have fun. It's like God made him that way. So I brought in all kinds of percussion things that I just found around the house to make really sweet sounds, you know. And so we're doing rhythms. And we're going to take it places and do some stuff with it for Christ, just to draw a crowd and present, you know, how much fun it is to be a Christian. Sometimes friends just make us feel good. Let's look at the next one. Beautiful. This is in a park in Beijing. I don't know if you can understand her. All right, hit something. Stop that, please. All right. Sometimes friends feed us, okay? And we just love people who feed us. They feed us laughter, they feed us comfort, they listen to our stories, you know, they just, something about being with them feeds us. You know, I was having a little trouble the other day with something and I thought, I need my friend. And I just went looking for one of my friends and the friend wasn't there, you know. And it's like, I just needed that friend. They feed us sometimes, okay? And so we want to make sure that we're a friend that feeds people. We feed them. You know, in Sunday school this morning, I brought just a bunch of different kinds of food because God feeds us different kinds of things, you know, from time to time. All right? And then the third thing we want to look at, your next multiple choice one, is because we see Jesus in them and we love him in their human container. This is very important. This is so important. You know, to see Jesus. Now, earlier you looked around the room and you said, you're really different, you know. You know, right now, just look at somebody near you and say, I see Jesus, while you look at them. Go ahead, do that. Look at the person next to you and say, I see Jesus. Okay, you see Jesus? You see Jesus? Yeah. Do you see Jesus? Yeah. You see Jesus? That's good. Good. Yeah. I see Jesus. Let's say it together. I see Jesus. Okay, hit the button. Let's see if we see Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Okay, let's hit the button again. All right, so here we are in the body of Christ. We see Jesus. Let's hit it one more time. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I don't know if you can go back. Can you go back? Oh, you did. You're marvelous. Okay. The other day, I was in Detroit and doing some work at the Detroit Rescue Mission. And I share this because it is like, you know, living a dream. You guys know I'm an artist. I know how to paint, okay? And I did this thing at Detroit Rescue Mission. 10 paintings done by 25 students that turned out looking absolutely incredibly fantastic and realistic. It's God's lesson plan he gave me. I won't go into detail. It was fun, really fun. We left. You know, I have a heart for these people who have no place to live. We left. And I ran into this guy, homeless. Okay? Cut his face off. All right? Because there's a certain dignity that everybody deserves because they are God's creation. So we don't have to see his face. But here we go. Asian, this is my tour director from Australia. Meet him in Beijing. This is a Muslim guy in Detroit. And a lady sitting in a park feeding pigeons. And my homeless man. Do I see Jesus? I passed by that guy. And I thought, I am not giving him money. I don't know what he'll spend it on. So a fellow teacher was with me. We went to McDonald's and we bought him breakfast. And we brought it to this guy. And the light was red where he was standing, so we had some time to talk with him, you know, and to just plant in his life. You know, let's go to the next slide. The fact is that if we love God, we're going to love our neighbors. We're going to do what it takes in our families. That's the raw place where it really gets worked out. A friend of mine was having major issues. He's a leader, you know, and he's having issues with his father-in-law. I said, you want to lead this organization the way you should? Get right with your father-in-law. You know, loving one another is going to show the world in loving our enemies. And then why do you love the people you love? I hope, I trust, it's because you have eyes to see Jesus. You have eyes to see Jesus. Sound good, guys? Do you want to grow in love? If we grow in love, we grow closer and closer to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you open up your arms so wide to every one of us, that we can truly be passionate lovers of you and everyone around us, so much so that it costs us something. We pay with our lives, we pay with our time, Lord, to give. Because blessed are those who give, and it's more of a blessing. It brings happiness to give. We've got to get from you that love that is so essential to love ourselves, so that we can appreciate you in us as individuals, so we overflow with that and we love others. You so love that you gave. Bless this church, I pray. Bless these people. Bless us today, I pray, with a confidence in the good work you're doing in our individual lives, so that we overflow with your love at home, in our communities, in our churches, and even toward our enemies. Cause us to love so much so that we give ourselves. Father, I pray that you'll encourage us this way, because if we love you with all of our heart, we don't reserve anything, with all of our might, you know, the strength that you give us to breathe and walk and live every day, with all of our soul, all of our emotions, and all of our intellect, then Lord, we are going to be your powerhouse. We're going to satisfy your heart. We're going to satisfy your desire, and we'll find ourselves in the center of your will, totally fulfilled. We thank you, and we praise you for that. Everybody who wants it said, amen. Amen.